Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Oh boy, this is an interesting program today because I'm going to cover, what are we going to cover? We're going to cover death in part, but that's not the name of the program. I'm not going to name a program. This is all about death. But there's a lot of death that shows up in this program in different ways, and with a piece that I want to cover later on what happens if Donald Trump should pass away prior to the election. Nobody talks about it because they don't want to. They don't want to precipitate any further assassination attempts, but what is said on the air is not going to do that. The ones that have precipitated assassination attempts have all been by the left, which we will cover, not from the right. But obviously there could be a plane crash, there could be a disease, there could be any one of a number of reasons that he might not survive. Heart attack, I mean, given his age, he's full of life, it appears. But we all are noticing a little bit of a slowing down. But I am going to start today, and I don't have any good news other than the best news of all, and that is that God is in control. It may not be what we want to see. It may not be what we want to feel, may not be what we want to hear. But what is going on in the present relates to the future. We just don't know the future. I mean, have you ever had, and I'm sure you have, times when you have prayed and, I mean, absolutely everything goes wrong. And you think, God, where are you? Why aren't you hearing this? And then only down the road can you look back and see how these events, which you considered to be negative, maybe even horribly negative, somehow played into God's plan for your life? We have all had that if we have served the Lord for any period of time. And so I have to take that approach. Number one, it helps keep your sanity. Number two, it is the correct approach to take. You know, let God be God, and let's not get too carried away with the present. And I'll be the first to admit that. But, I do have another piece of good news to share. Not even close to the first piece of good news that God is in control. But I do want to announce that I will be speaking. For those of you who are in Las Vegas, there's a lot of Las Vegas listeners to this program on September 7th, which is a Saturday, not a Sunday. I will be speaking at Broken Bridge Ministries at 2 p.m. 2 p.m., Broken Bridge Ministries, September 7th, a Saturday in Las Vegas. The address is 2525 North Decatur, Las Vegas, Nevada. Really looking forward to this opportunity to speak. And I may have something to give to the attendees. I hope so. Depends. Well, I won't even tell you what it depends on. But there may be a tchotchke. There may be a door prize for everyone. Who knows? So with that good news out of the way, but in place, I want to go to the first thing that deals with death, but you're going to hear something nobody on the media is making a connection. And they're not. No one is going to say what I'm going to say in about 5 to 7 minutes here regarding the issues dealing with the COVID shots and who actually bears a lot of responsibility. So I mentioned last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I don't recall, about all the myocarditis and pericarditis deaths among young men. We could even say boys, because the age bracket starts at, 14 or 15, where I have these deaths all the way up to age 30 that occurred during the COVID shot period, and there has not been one verification yet of any boy to young man that died of those two afflictions that didn't have the shot. Can't find anybody. They're not out there. They certainly can't be identified at this point of who, what young men died of that did not take the shot. As far as we can tell, every young man, older boy that died of pericarditis and myocarditis during that period were shot victims. Okay, why do I say that? Because it leads up to the next story. Bone chilling is the way this is described about how the COVID shots have triggered an explosive surge in kidney failures. Yeah. Following, not predating, but following the advent of the mRNA COVID shots. The studies here are revealing that there are, just in the United States, 155,000 excess deaths caused by acute kidney injury since when? Late 2020. When the shots went into full force. Now, what is an excess death? You're probably wondering, good question. An excess death is a death number that is above the expected baseline. It's not the total. It's just how many extra people died from acute kidney injury. So we have these baselines that they can say with some precision in a normal year, this is how many people die of heart attack, die of whatever, in this case, acute kidney injury. And so we have a baseline for acute kidney injury deaths. However, what do we have in 2020? We have the acute kidney injury spiking, ready for this, in 2021, 200%. Spiking above that baseline. In 2022, as more shots are given to victims, not patients, victims, it spikes 300% above the baseline. Then in 2023, they are surging alarmingly because not all the kidney failure injuries occur right after the shot. It occurs down the road a little bit. And so, this what we have is, starting in 2020, 155,000 people that have died of acute kidney injury more than normal, with nothing else out there. You see, COVID hasn't caused any acute kidney failures. Not COVID, but it's the mRNA. 155,000 excess deaths since 2020. Spiking like crazy. So we have people, kids dying, young men, boys dying from the vaccine that did die. That's tapered off. That seems to, at least, well, we don't know. Could they die 4 or 5 years after they take the jab? Of course they can. We don't have those numbers. But all the ones that have died have been related to the jab. And all these kidney failures, this 200%, then 300% spike in kidney deaths, are all since the inception of COVID, but since the inception of the alleged vaccines. Now you're asking me, why am I spending so much time on this? Number one is important. Number two, don't for any reason ever take a shot recommended by the federal government. We found out that what do you need to do? Listen to what the government says and then do the exact opposite. But now here's the real reason. The other day, Mark Zuckerberg says that he regrets suppressing COVID-19 content. All right. Quote from Marky Baby, "I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it." Okay, point number one here. I believe the government pressure was wrong. Now, yes, that's true, Mark, but that's only half of the truth. The other truth is, Marky Baby, you were wrong in bowing down to the government and suppressing the truth, suppressing free speech. Let me just go down. I mean, what do we know about this, about Zuckerberg? He fundamentally is not a free speech person. He's a Democrat. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put $400 million into the campaign to defeat Trump in 2020. Number two, he is subject to and afraid of the federal government. Number three, we know that he can be bought off. So the government pressure was wrong. Well, yeah, but Mark, you were wrong yielding to the government pressure. What do you have to be afraid of? You're worth billions? Why do you have no guts? Why do you have no cojones? Why don't you have any morals? But he's come out and he's sort of admitting, but he's also trying to deflect a bit. He's not, yeah, I believe the government pressure is wrong. He doesn't say I was wrong, but then he says, I regret that we were not more outspoken. How about saying I was not more outspoken? Why blame it on your own company and not on yourself? Goodness gracious, now we see why God has raised up Elon Musk. Now I'm going to tie this back to the previous two stories. How many people now have died? How many hundreds of thousands of people have died because Mark Zuckerberg repressed the truth about COVID and the COVID vaccine injury connection? How many people have died? How many people have health issues because Zuckerberg didn't have the guts or the cojones, and he just sucks up to the federal government to not tell the truth, to not have the guts to say just what others have been saying, and let the market of opinions prevail? Zuckerberg is at risk of as many deaths from COVID and COVID vaccine injuries as Joey No Brains Biden. Now, it's tough to sue Joey No Brains, right? We know that. That one guy, her special counsel, already said he doesn't have the mentality to hold up under a trial. But why can't we sue Mark Zuckerberg? Why can't we sue Facebook? Why can't we sue Meta? For all the people who, had they not suppressed the truth, would be alive today and not taking the stupid, stinking vaccine and suppressing everything that could be done by way of ivermectin and the other things that were rolled out to deal with those who got COVID. And for suppressing the truth that said, the vaccine is safe, the vaccine is effective. For spreading the mistruth, how did I say truth? For spreading the misinformation, the lie that you can't, with a vaccine, you can't catch COVID and you can't pass it on. All stinking lies, which he then bowed down and paid homage to the feds. He sits at the top of the pyramid of those. Maybe there's space on the top of the pyramid with others for the deaths of tens, if not thousands, of people. Okay. All right, moving along. We're going to get to the politics side, though that's death part number one. Now we'll get to death part deux in French in a little bit. But this one's related. But before I get to that, I got a story here I want to skip. I don't have time for it. It seemed important when I was putting this program together. It's not important now. Germany. Germany is vowing and viewing tougher knife laws. They want to increase the restriction of distribution of knives, who can have them, all of these things, knives. Why? Of course, because they've let in so many Muslims that really like killing people who have blue eyes. Pretty simple. Muslims hate blue eyes. Well, what is particularly intriguing about this? How many years have we said guns don't kill people, people kill people? Guns are simply a tool. All of this anti-gun crap from the left, because they got to get rid of our guns in order for them to complete the Soviet-style control of the U.S. from turning us into a communist nation. They got to disarm us. But they've always said it's a gun, stupid. No, it's a person holding the gun that is not stupid, but evil. It's a person holding the hammer that kills somebody. Very, very high on the FBI list of tools and means by which to commit homicides are fists, our baseball bats, our hammers, and yes, knives. So what does Germany do? Still believing that the tool is the problem, they want to now restrict knives. Do you see, Germany has just admitted, though they aren't smart enough to acknowledge it, what they are saying, they cannot connect the dots. They are basically admitting it is the killer, not the tool. They're just moving on to a new tool. So now nobody can have guns. But pretty soon, when nobody can have knives, what's the next thing? Well, the Muslims will start getting out baseball bats and beating up people with blue eyes. So what do they do? What's the next step? It's logical. We got to restrict the dissemination and the sale of baseball bats or brass knuckles or whatever it is. They cannot come to the truth of admitting that it is the person. And in Germany, it's the maniacal Muslims that are killing blue-eyed people. They don't dare to say it. They don't have the guts. They don't have the integrity. Certainly don't have the morals. But thank you, Germany, for by pressing for knife control, you have just admitted that the tool has nothing to do with the malignant mind, with the evil mind. Nothing. It's not the tool. The evil mind will find a tool. And without a tool, they will resort to that which is extremely high on the FBI list of causes of homicide: fists, beating the living crap out of somebody till they die. So what are you going to do? You're going to outlaw fists? You're going to amputate fists? Well, okay, you get my point. I want to insert a little piece of good news here. Oh, this is, I go back almost a year and a half now. Nobody has pushed Vivek Ramaswamy more than I, other than maybe Vivek himself. But everywhere now he's speaking out. Everybody now is starting to wonder, how did we overlook him in this presidential race? Not that they are upset with Trump to the point of, gee, I wish we had him instead, but why isn't he alongside him? Why have we so completely disregarded what he's had to say? Is it because conservatives don't like Indians? I don't honestly care that he's Hindu. If in fact, that's a big if in fact, he genuinely coincides with my beliefs on what constitutes a civil government, a government that's out of control, and what civil rights. He's anti-abortion at all stages. He's anti-queer marriage. He's anti-tranny. He wants to get rid of the Department of Miseducation. He wants to tamp down and largely defund the Department of Injustice. There is nobody more Republican and more conservative from a foundational principled perspective than Ramaswamy. And for some reason, people are hearing it now. And I've said all along, what happens if Trump is not in the race? Well, I'll tell you a little bit later how Ramaswamy may come into play. But should he have been the VP pick? I don't know. It depends on what happens. I just want to throw out that this guy, why people now are just sort of suddenly taking notice of him, maybe it's because he's dropped out, but he's speaking all over the place to large crowds of people who are militantly conservative, as is he. All right, so let's move on to Calamity Harris here, our VP, which I said last week, I made the comment, and afterwards I wonder if I should have made the comment. Now I'm glad I made the comment because I'm going to make it again. In Kami Harris's case, VP stands for virtual prostitute. She is indeed that. And she's also a thief, but we'll get to that. She steals ideas that are, goodness sakes. Harris comes out and is now talking about building the wall. Gosh, get me a bucket so I can puke. And if people fall for this garbage, if they fall for her trying to sound conservative and have Tampon Tim wear a hunting cap to try to win over Southern voters, then we are stupid, we are ignorant, we as a nation, and we deserve these dumb and dumber as president and vice president. I hope people don't fall for that. Because at the bottom line of the DNC is actually D and C. All they want is to kill babies in the womb. In fact, this is something God just gave me here as I am speaking. They shouldn't be called the DNC anymore. They should be called the DNC, the abortion party, the party that actually supported slavery, the party that supported Jim Crow laws, the party that didn't want to pass the 1964 Civil Rights Bill. That's your DNC. And that is your DNC. A little hard to distinguish on the air, easier in print. But at any rate, okay. So now we are going to get to the next topic, dealing with death. We just talked about killing babies in the womb, so that's our death component there with the D and C. What happens if Donald Trump should die before the election? What's the process here? I told you he seems more fatigued, although last couple of days he's kind of picking up speed. I think he's been frustrated because he tries like crazy to get some political media attention. And my advice, of course, was, which of course he's not listening to this program, was just chill, Donald. Let them have their love porno fest at the DNC and then come out afterwards. Come out swinging or keep swinging. Put J.D. Vance, the attack dog, put him on. Well, he is. That part of he's doing right. But given his age, given the fact that he is put under an amount of pressure nobody short of Jesus himself has had to undergo with all the lawfare, it's incredible what he has undergone short of violence. More than any, I mean, innocent people get sued all the time. But not an innocent person, and an innocent person gets sued all the time. There's innocent people that get sued everywhere, but they're not individual people who are just simply getting sued every day of their life, threatened with jail, assassination attempts. I don't know how he holds up. Do not cease praying for him. Let me part of the message I preach in Las Vegas, the role of the individual prayer warrior. It's really important. But if he does die before the election, if he goes down in a plane crash, this doesn't apply. If he contracts a disease, probably doesn't apply. But if he dies of a heart attack, or if he dies certainly from an assassination attempt, then the Democrats will be either responsible for murder or, in the case of heart attack, aiding and abetting, because they would largely be responsible for precipitating the heart attack. They're entirely responsible if they assassinate him, and I don't put that past them at all. So that's point number one. One way or the other, other than an accident, the Democrats will be responsible for having killed him, whether directly or indirectly through the pressures that they've mounted on a man that virtually no one could handle. So that's point number one. Number two, what happens then if he dies before the election? What happens to the ticket? I do not think it is possible to bring in another party. First of all, you got ballots that are printed. You have ballots being mailed out right now. And you can't have that going on. And so my understanding of the Constitution, and I'm not saying that this is absolutely correct, but my understanding is that J.D. Vance will sit alone on the ticket. Now, is he running for vice president? No, no longer. He's vice president on the ticket, but de facto president. Because obviously what happens if Donald Trump gets elected and he's deceased? Then Vance, as a vice presidential candidate, moves up to president. So in effect, he's running for president alone. But he's running for president as vice president. That makes sense? Okay. Point number three. Would that cause a drop-off in support for Trump? Absolutely not. Certainly, if he was assassinated, Vance is elected. If he dies of a heart attack, I think a lot of people will put two and two together like I am today, that in essence, the Democrats have aided and abetted the death of Donald Trump. So my point number three is this. I think every Donald Trump supporter would vote for Vance sitting alone at the top of the ticket. Right? Now, point number four, all the Democrats out there, all which are the same as the Donald Trump haters, how many of the Donald Trump haters will come over to J.D. Vance if Trump isn't on the ticket? I'm not trying to make a case for this. I'm just saying there are people that would vote for Vance, and all Trump supporters would vote for Vance, but there's some independents who would never vote for Donald Trump that would vote for J.D. Vance. Interestingly, being alone on the ticket might possibly increase Republican turnout, and it may well increase independent turnout and independent votes for J.D. Vance. I mean, I realize this is all conjecture, and it's speculative, certainly, and I don't want it to happen that he passes away before the election. But something impressed upon me the need to cover this topic. And, I'm covering it. Okay, point number five. This is really an intriguing point. And I don't want to make this point with any thought or suggestion that it would be better to not have Trump on the ticket. It would be better for the man to pass away. Far be it from that. And what I'm going to say is going to be true beyond questionableness. I guess it's just that you're going to have to wait till after the break to hear it. But don't go away. Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable. Throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you?
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Why on earth am I playing one of my favorite songs? Certainly one of my favorite Bobby Darin songs, along with Mac the Knife. Why am I playing that for this? Call me irresponsible? No. Those words exactly fit Mark Zuckerberg. Call Mark irresponsible. Call Mark unreliable. And go on, you know, the rest of it. And then go, and he finishes it with, do my foolish alibis bore you? Do Mark's foolish alibis bore you? Now you know why I played the song. Okay, back to if Trump passes away before the election. I'm down to point number five. Do you realize, and I have to say again, because I said it before the break, I just want to make sure it's clear in everybody's mind here. I don't say this with any thought or desire that Trump doesn't make it to the election. I want him to be president. No question about it. But these are just facts. If he were to pass away, do you realize that every single Democrat talking point, hit piece, lie, deceit, all of those things about Donald Trump evaporate? Every ad that they've spent millions for goes up in smoke because it no longer applies. Sort of like Trump beating the tar out of Biden, and all of a sudden, Biden evaporates. He's gone, politically speaking. So, that's all gone. I mean, all of these ads, poof, they're meaningless. Now they have to recreate everything about J.D. Vance. And it's going to be, would be tiresome. Now, point number six, the left with that development will be thrilled and terrified at the same time. They'll be thrilled that Trump is finally gone. They finally got the guy. Now terrified that they don't have him around to beat up. They don't have him as the punching bag. They don't have him to lie about. They got to start all over. Millions and millions of ad money wasted, wasted, wasted. Glad he's gone, but terrified that they don't have him there to beat up. And now we got a replacement. Point number seven. You know, no Democrat really was openly making fun of Biden's age. Biden, older than Trump. But now they're having at Trump because of his age, even though he's 3 years younger than Joey No Brains. But if that happened, point number six is they don't even have that argument anymore. Vance, 39, and he's running against two older flatulents. Let's call him, huh? Harris and Tampon Tim. I mean, not that 60's old, but it's a lot older than 39. So if they're going for the youth vote, they just lost that. That's pretty amazing to me. So Vance is free of that Harris and Walls approach. But then what happens next? Point number eight. If Vance were elected, and he's president, of course, because he's the only one on the ticket, he has to appoint a vice president. He can't really do that before the election because he can't put anybody on the ticket, but he could say who he would appoint as VP if he's elected. Now I'm cycling back to that previous little story that I just slipped in between a couple of bloodbath stories about Vivek Ramaswamy. Vance appoints Ramaswamy. Now you have two 39-year-olds. Where's this youth vote going now? Scares the daylights out of them. You've got and Harris, I mean, pumping up her ethnicity, being half Southeast Asian, Indian, I guess. But now you got J.D. Vance with an Indian wife, and you got Vivek Ramaswamy, who's Indian, with an Indian wife. So you just beat the crap out of the Dems on the age issue, on the ethnicity issue, and also brains. Oh, my gosh. Half of Vivek Ramaswamy's brain and two-thirds of Vance's brain exceeds the combined intelligence several fold of Harris and Tampon Tim. I don't know. I'm not saying that excites me. It doesn't. As I said, I want Trump to win. And everybody's been concerned about what happens if they assassinate him. What happens if he passes away? I want him to win, but I don't have that worry. I'm not losing sleep if that does happen. Because like I said, don't look at the situation like it is right now. With supposedly Harris leading in the polls, and which are lies, but or maybe cheating, which they will attempt to do no matter what, which they would have to do, frankly, in my opinion, to win. They're worried because they know they have the virtual prostitute, the VP, running on a campaign of lies and theft as she steals ideas from Donald Trump to try to make it look like she has been a conservative all along, which she never has been. She's always been a commie. Now, I'm going to move on to the next death story. Ah, boy. You know, you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon, writing the book of Ecclesiastes, kind of makes death sound like, frankly, a really pretty good thing. In fact, he seems like he's lamenting having been born. But we're called for just such a time as this, right? The lesson from the book of Esther includes you, includes me. But this next one is why the Dems don't want Biden to die before his term of office is up. Why the Democrats want Joey No Brains. Joey, I'm your left-wing puppet, to remain president until the next left-wing puppet, Cammy Kakalika Hyena Harris, would assume office if she was elected. And there are five points for this one, if you're taking notes. Number one, Harris is trying desperately to distance herself from this administration. I mean, look at the things that she is touting. She's aligning with Donald Trump more than she's aligning with Joey No Brains. She's trying to act like she really had nothing to do with all these crappy pit of hell policies that emanated from the Biden regime, with which she totally agreed, many of which actually have her signature on it. She wants to be detached from this regime's ungodly, stupid, and anti-Christian agenda, as she now calls herself a Baptist. Boy, I can hear some of my listeners throwing up from this far away. wants this result. Point number two, if Joey croaks, and is it okay to say that I hope God takes him out? I mean, I certainly am not going to wish any his death personally by virtue of people, you know, doing something, acting, you know, trying to assassinate him. I don't want him assassinated. I don't want him, but can God pull him out? Isn't that the passage in 2 Thessalonians? I think chapter 3, verse 2, and I could be off a little bit. God, please deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. It is okay to pray to God that he would take out one way or another people who are wicked. So, is it okay to wish that he were dead for natural causes? If God wants to take him out, he's God. Let him do it. Because if Joey No Brain croaks and she's president, she cannot run and hide as though not being part of this administration full force. She's now president. President. You can't dissociate yourself from this regime once you've taken over the person whose place you're taking. You can't run and hide. You can't run and hide, Cammy baby, anyway. It's just that it makes it harder to hide if you're now president. Guess what? Because it leads to the next thing. Number three, if you're president, guess what, Cammy? You actually now have the time and authority to do something about all the things from which you're trying to identify. You actually have time to do something to prove that your lies aren't lies that you're filling people's heads with right now. You actually do have time to do something about the border. Yeah. Yeah, you really do. If you're president, your unilateral authority to do, and you have time to do something. You've lost another excuse because now you are president. So point number four, which is kind of a summation, they actually have to keep Joey alive so Cammy can't become an incumbent with this regime's record. Now you are knitted completely to the agenda of the incumbent's regime. You are the incumbent. You are the one who, how can you do a eulogy for Joe Biden without praising all the policies he did, which you've already done, but the media isn't out there. The media is just simply the left-wing marketing arm of the Democrat Party. We don't have a free media except in a few small cases. She can't run and hide. So there's already this guilt, point number five, and my last. There's already this guilt by association. But Joey's death takes away even more of the association because you're it. You're it. I remember one time that I did not want to be vice president of this ranch association. In California, we lived in a place where they weren't really ranches, they were ranchettes. We were on 20 to 40 acres, but it was an association. And they came to me and they said, would you be open to being vice president? So you don't really have to do anything. I just say, well, look at Harris. She didn't do anything on the border, right? You don't really have to do anything. You just got to go around and cackle like a hyena and praise your master, whoever is the president. They said, you don't have to do anything, Rob. You just are there. I mean, if the president's sick or something, you conduct a meeting. Look, it won't take up any more of your time. I realize you're busy. But just if would you do it? Because you don't have to do anything. And then guess what? The president sold her house and moved. Could no longer be president of the association. And I thought, crap, I fell for this. Now I am president. Now I cannot dissociate myself from any of the issues that some of the residents have taken issue with but they took issue with the president, not with me. I can't run and hide. If I'm going to do something, if I really disagreed with the president, I've got to do it because now I've got the authority to at least bring it before the board. This is why they cannot. I'll tell you, I don't think the Democrats are beyond keeping Joey alive by artificial means until November 5th. I fully expect that they would put him in on feeding tubes, incubator. Well, he's got the mind of a baby. Intubator. They keep him alive one way or another. That is how much they do not want Kamala Harris becoming the incumbent prior to the election. Wow. Okay. Now, I'm going to be on to something here. We're past the death board, all right? Newness of life. That's what we're coming to, post-death. I want to start a bit of a series, which I will build on. I'm not going to cover it exclusively and each week, but a little bit of preparation in the event that the cackling hyena actually is able to steal the election. And I'm going to start with something from some of which I will agree with more than others, and then I'm going to add my own later, probably not in this program, because God is giving me some specific things in preparation for a cackling hyena presidency. And it says in Scripture, I've shared this before, that the prudent man, and of course that means woman, just like it says if pray that the God would deliver us from the wicked man. Well, of course, it includes wicked woman, too. You women, you can't be included in the good stuff if you're not included in the bad stuff. So what to do if this woman is president, and because Scripture says that the prudent man and, of course, woman sees the danger ahead and hides himself or herself or takes precautions, does that which is necessary to what? Feed yourself, feed your family, protect your family, try to maintain a community with other Christians, which may now be increasingly underground. So I want to start with these 8 steps that have been put out by Patrice Lewis. She's a great writer. I really like her. I want to give her due credit for this. Some of these I share more than others. In future programs, I will build on what she has said. And number one, I could not agree with more, and that is to stay informed. And I don't mean the mainstream media drivel, is what she calls it, but I agree. It means stay informed by alternative news sources, which will bring you the truth. I would like to believe that Red Sky Radio, the Robin Walter Show, is an alternative news source. I think that. But I certainly don't trump Newsmax for as long as Newsmax is privately held. When they're publicly held, they'll go south. That's why I don't want them to do that. Fox, to some degree, is good, but you know, you got to listen to Mark Levin and others. Find your sources of reliable information. And how do you find them? It's probably everything the Democrats and the government calls misinformation. Number two, and you know what? I may not get through all of these. Cultivate multiple income sources. Now, this is something I didn't think she would say. It is on my list. I'm licensed to practice law in California and Michigan. I live in Arizona, where I served as a judge pro tem. I don't do that anymore. I stepped aside because why? I can't be a full-time judge and keep the radio program. I could be a part-time judge and keep the radio program because I realize you have to make money some other way than by being a judge. But what has happened is I've had more people come to me and say, here in Arizona, Rob, could you help us out? I have this problem. I have that problem. Some of these things are a little out of my reach. I'm not going to do a bankruptcy. I'm not going to do a divorce. But there's a bunch of stuff. I've been a solo practitioner, so I kind of cover the waterfront on a lot of other things. And there are some things that are definitely in my wheelhouse. And so one day, my wife says to me in the morning, she said, or I'm sorry, I said to her in the morning, if one more person asks me to help them out legally, I guess I got to get licensed in the state of Arizona. I'm not taking it down, I'm taking it up. So I take a couple out to lunch who had given me a real estate tip, if you will. I appreciated it so much. I went and bought the piece of property, and to thank them, I took them out to lunch. But before lunch was over, the woman said to me, oh gosh, could you help us? Could you direct us, please, to somebody who could help us with this problem that I'm having with this estate issue and how to leave assets and real estate issues, and I don't have children, blah, 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 right on down the line. I look at my wife, she looks at me, and I go, oh gosh, this is it. So I paid the $2,000, which is what I'm up to now, to get in all of the stuff, 17 supplemental documents, and go through all the investigation in the state of Arizona to be licensed. So I anticipate, whether it's next week or maybe 3 or 4 months, I have no clue, I will also be licensed in Arizona. But after I did that, started that process a couple months ago, I thought, you know, I don't know what way this election is going to go. I don't know if certain sources of income for me are going to dry up, be taken away, maybe be sued. I need to do what Patrice is saying, cultivate multiple income sources. Heck, I was looking at Panda Express the other day. Starts at $20 and you get free medical insurance and and all these young kids I could witness to. I don't care. Develop. I'd like that. Number three, which I heartily agree with, reduce your debt. Easy to acquire, hard to get out of. Right now, I'm going to disagree a tad in that if you've got, I have a particular debt that I owe two and one-eighth percent on. I don't really want to reduce that debt and pay it off when other assets can be earning 5 to 6%. So I'm going to disagree with her to some extent on that. But if you're sitting there with a high interest rate mortgage, obviously you'll want to refinance it at the least. But I'm not going to, I'm giving you what she's saying. I don't necessarily totally agree with her in that respect. Obviously, if you have assets and the assets are no longer earning money or earning less than your than what you're paying, then you definitely want to pay it off. Number four, totally get this, get lean, reduce your expenses. Love it. I am doing that. I'm just going through with, like, you know, what can I get rid of? What expense do I really have? I'm looking at changing these guys that take care of my lawn, doing some of it, and hiring another guy to take care of what I don't want or can't do. Get lean. And I totally get that. Totally agree. Number five, invest in intangibles. Now, I like dirt. I honestly, I'm going to put it this way. When it comes to the stock market, I suck. I have done some great things. I've done some bad things. I'm not sure the great outweigh the good. It's a horse race. But I like dirt. I like stuff you can touch and feel. Tangibles. Tangible things. I'm not talking about just gold and silver or copper, a little bit, of which you ought to own, of which I have a little bit. But other things, and learn other skills. I mean, food preservation, but tools, equipment. There's certain things I want to buy that you can earn subsistence living at the least. A rototiller. If you got a piece of dirt, till it. Start planting some stuff. Learn that things that, and whether it's skills or tools. I'll tell you what. While they're still cheap enough, get a new washer and dryer if you need one. Or things that are tangible that will produce value by way of making life easier, saving you money, or reducing money with it. Number six, tamp down your desires, she said. She quotes, she said, the rich man says, If you learned today to... No. He says, if you learn to be a toady to the king, this is what was once said, you wouldn't have to eat lentils. That's what the rich man says. If you learn to obey the king, you won't have to eat lentils. But the poor man says, if you learn to eat lentils, you won't have to be a toady to the king. That's good. Get around people, number seven, that share your values. Absolutely. She calls it club up. I don't know that term, but it's a good term. Get around people that you can trust to support, encourage them, learn from them, let them learn from you. Number eight, and the absolute most important, it should be number one, cultivate your faith. Build it up. Be in the Word day in, day out. Be strong. Sit tall in the saddle. That's what it comes down to. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.